If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Kaya Biz.
This is Kaya Biz.
With Gule Tumfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On kaya959. Inside your pocket on Kaya Biz.
About 16 minutes before 7, I'm Nastasia Aronson, standing in for Gugule Tumfupi this evening. According to TPN's Credit Bureau latest vacancy survey report, the residential rental sector continued to perform strongly with low vacancies in the fourth quarter of last year, continuing its recovery trend from the previous three quarters. To talk to us a little bit more about this is Valda Marcus, who is an industry principal at TPN Credit Bureau. Valda, thank you so much for your time. Talk to me about some of the data that came through here in when it comes to this particular vacancy report.
Good evening, Nastasia. Thank you for having me. So we conduct this vacancy survey on a quarterly basis, and it really helps the industry understand what the demand and supply is. And what we've seen in the last quarter of 2023, a slight improvement from the previous quarter. Quarter three was sitting at 6.76%, and quarter four dropped to 6.69%. Now, if we look at what we've seen in the previous years, it's a really good improvement. And there's various reasons for that. We've seen the interest rates hitting 11.75%, and that really drove homeowners to make a decision between, do I buy a property at high interest rates or do I enter the rental market? And we've continued seeing that there's a big appetite for these residential rental properties. And on the flip side, we've also seen more stock coming into the market as the demand for it remains strong.
What does the survey show us when we look at residential vacancy rate by, say, rental value bands?
So the rental value bands is a standard that TPN Credit Bureau uses when we look at various of our indexes and our research. And what we've seen, and again, this is a repeat pattern, those paying less than 3,000 Rand a month for the rental, we've seen an uptick from quarter three to quarter four. They also sitting, those rental units achieving that 3,000 or less 1,000 Rand a month rental has got a vacancy at 8.46%. So there has been an uptick. Then those paying between 3,000 and 4,500, that rental vacancy rate has been went down from quarter three to quarter four. That's sitting at 7.55%. Then the rental value bands between 4,500 and 7,000, which traditionally had a very good performance overall, but we've seen a slight uptick in that vacancy rate from quarter three to quarter four. Those paying between 7,000 and 12,000, they also had a slight uptick from quarter three to quarter four. Still a low vacancy at 6.2%. Interesting that we've seen the rental value band or the luxury rental value band between 12,000 and 25,000. They had a decrease from quarter three to quarter four. And they're also sitting with the lowest vacancy currently in the country at 5.17%. So the various rental bands behave slightly differently. And there's one of the main reasons is the more higher rent, luxury rentals, especially during the last quarter of the year, spilling into the first quarter of the year, is also holiday homes that's been taking up on shorter term rentals. And that drops the vacancies in the higher rental value band. So a trend that we continue seeing is that those lower rental value bands is struggling a little bit in terms of vacancies. But overall, it is still a very good performance. Year on year, the annual vacancies has dropped to 6.73% if we look at the entire year. And it is low compared to what we've seen even in 2019, where it was sitting at 8.74%.
What I find fascinating as I go through your report is the picture you're getting when you look at the vacancies based on different provinces here. And I always go to the Western Cape because first, as the line item to read before I look at other provinces. And here it says here that Western Cape maintains the lowest vacancy rate in the country. Take me through the picture you're seeing when you look at the different provinces.
So you're right. The Western Cape has got the lowest vacancy in the country. Only 3.18% of residential units in the Western Cape was empty at quarter four. And it really had, since 2022, it really had low vacancies, maintained low vacancies. We saw a slight spike in 2022, but that is also various reasons, more supply coming online. Gauteng, which should be second on your list when you look at vacancies, as it is the host to the largest number of residential tenants in the country, that vacancies went up again from quarter three to quarter four. They're sitting at 18.14%. But again, what we've seen how well the market has responded is that we've seen a drop in supply, and a slight uptick in demand that came through. But it is a marginal demand uptick, which still means that, you know, Gauteng has got more supply than demand currently, and that's why they're sitting with relatively high vacancies compared to someone like the Western Cape. KwaZulu-Natal had, you know, if you look overall, has had a vacancies that spike and then drop a little bit and improve and then decrease again. And they broke the 10% mark in the last quarter of last year. And if you look at how the province has been hit by various economic, climate, social unrests, we can see that in the data from TPN, not just from a vacancy perspective, but also from a tenant payment behavior. So KwaZulu-Natal should also see a decline in vacancies, especially over the festive season. But in the last quarter, it did see an increase slightly. Eastern Cape performed very well as well. They're sitting at 6.52%. They're also down from the previous quarters. And those coastal provinces over quarter four going into quarter one should see slightly lower vacancies than the quarter before that. But the Western Cape remains very low vacancies. We see that also the escalations are very healthy. Gauteng, although still good escalations that we're seeing, is struggling a little bit more with vacancies, but is improving.
I'm curious, when it comes to Cape Town, the supply-demand dynamics there, is it because a lot of that demand has been driven by this idea, we've been talking about semigration or the semigration trends towards the Western Cape? Is it that, or is it because, you know, people aren't supplying call it apartments, etc.? Like, how do you look at the supply dynamics there in the Western Cape?
So the supply and demand, we've seen that if you look at completed and planned residential building plans passed by large municipalities, Gauteng has been relatively slow on both cases. The Western Cape, a couple of quarters ago, I've actually seen more building plans passed than Gauteng. So there isn't improvement, and so I say improvement, there is growth in the supply of rental stock in the Western Cape, but then the demand outstrips it. And you've mentioned semigration. That trend is, we've heard a lot about it. And it's also businesses that's moved to areas that is well serviced, good infrastructure. There is municipalities within the Western Cape, including City of Cape Town, that is putting a lot of effort ensuring that rental properties and owned properties is well spread. So you've got a variety of rental value bands in areas. When we talk about Western Cape, it's City of Cape Town, but also all the other municipalities. And within the Western Cape, we've also seen people moving from the Atlantic Seaboard and City of Cape Town itself into other areas, which have increased the demand, and supply takes a bit of time to come on board. So there is this immigration. There's also the internal demand that's increased. But on the other side is residential property in itself is expensive in most areas within Cape Town. And because of the high interest rates and because of the overall economic pressures in the country, salaries have not kept up. And therefore, it is a alternative to rent versus buying, especially in a market with high prices.
Let's talk about that economy, because you've got this constrained economy where consumers are stressed. And as you mentioned, that salaries aren't necessarily, you know, increasing by a very large margin. The kind of conversations you're having with, call it landlords or property investors, how are they thinking about implementing reasonable escalations in an environment like this?
So escalations have been very reasonable, and we've seen it. It's only in the last quarter of last year that it's kind of touched on this literally underbelly of CPI. So rental escalations, we expect quarter one of this year and quarter two of this year for CPI and rental escalations to be very close to each other. But considering that during 2020 and 21, some provinces and some landlords even allowed for de-escalation, so they lowered their prices to ensure that they have decent occupation of their rental stock. So rental escalations have been applied very cautiously by landlords, investors, all the way from institutional investors down to the individual landlord, where they have to weigh up there's a risk of some vacancies and then also the affordability. So yes, there might be an amazing demand for property, but the ability for a tenant to physically pay that at the end of the month based on their salary and the increased food costs and transport costs remains a reality, and landlords are very sensitive towards that. So in our view, there has been reasonable escalations, and although there is heightened demand, we also need to consider that when interest rates come down, it might be at a slower rate than what we were thinking a year ago. But as soon as those interest rates come down and we see people build more confidence within the economy and consumer confidence improve, then there's also the risk of very high rentals then equates to the opportunity to purchase, or I can afford a bond, and then we'll start seeing some migration. So estate agents, investors, landlords, individual landlords have been cautious. They've kept a very close eye on tenants, not just on demand and supply, but also the affordability that a tenant has in these environments.
When you look back at all the surveys that you guys have conducted over the past year or so, is there a trend you're picking up here when you look at some of the data that's coming through?
I think one of the biggest trends that we see is that consumer confidence is incredibly important. Consumer confidence is usually lagging a little bit when it comes to business confidence. And the end of last year, consumer confidence dropped to a 23-year low. And for people to invest in properties, fixed assets, it's a big expense, a big consideration, that there is still a bit of hesitation. Interest rates is definitely, you know, aligned to what we see in terms of demand, consumers in terms of their ability to pay. And then if you look at the financial sector, is once again, the higher the risk overall for banks would then start reducing their loan to value to mitigate some of that risk, which makes it more difficult for a first time home buyer to enter the market, because all of a sudden you need to put down a 10% deposit or 15% deposit, where in great economic environment, they will give you 100% loan to value. So these are nuances that we see. Confidence is very, very important. Demand and supply, especially on the supply side, investors having the confidence to start putting new supply onto the market, which also then, you know, manages the escalations a little bit, because there's more demand, people have better choice and good quality. And investors need that. Investors need to know that when I invest in this, when I go and develop 30 or 40 units, that I will show a return and that my debt cost is manageable. One thing that we've also seen is that as we see rates and taxes increase well above inflation, and in most municipalities, that will also impact the demand for purchasing properties. While on a rental property, most of those costs are fixed within your lease agreement. You pay a rental plus utility cost, which fluctuates, but your rates and taxes doesn't directly impact you as much as a homeowner. And a survey that we've just concluded, we'll be publishing in the next couple of weeks, is looking at the biggest challenges tenants face. And rates and taxes is one big consideration on purchasing a property and why they are staying in rentals at the moment.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, Valdo. That is Valdo Marcus talking to us about some of the data that they're getting out of the residential report. This particular one looking at the latest vacancy survey report. That is Valdo Marcus, who's an industry principal at TPN Credit Bureau. And just a quick interesting story that has just popped through here in terms of news. It came out 5 minutes ago, and it reads here that Anglo American does not find BHP's offer attractive. So this is a story that's just come out now by Reuters, and it says here that Anglo American's management does not consider the proposed takeover offer from BHP as attractive. And this is coming from two sources that spoke on the condition of anonymity because the matter is private. And they're saying here according to this here, they're saying that the offer does not address the complexities of demerging the Anglo-American platinum and Kumba iron ore businesses in South Africa. And, well, as I mentioned earlier, BHP has until May 22nd to come back with a binding offer. So we'll see how this particular story plays out. It's just a breaking news that's just popped in through my screen right now. So give it a few seconds just to get through some of the details here in terms of where Reuters is getting this and some of the information that they're getting from their sources.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.